Excellence Podcast featuring Dr. Jason Snyder, Superintendent of Middlebury Community Schools in Middlebury, Indiana. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, a learner, a servant leader, and someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and genuine care for people. Well, let's dive in and learn more about our guest today, Dr. Jason Snyder. Welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
It's so great to be actually in your district. We are here at the, remind me the name of this facility, beautiful facility that we are here.
This is the Essen House.
The Essen House. And stories all over the state. Well, since we have mentioned that we are up here in Middlebury at the Essen House, tell us a little bit about Middlebury, about this community. You've been here for several years and have gotten to know a lot of people and a lot about the culture here. So help our listeners to know a little bit about Middlebury.
Sure. Middlebury is a wonderful place. My wife and I and two daughters relocated here about 5 years ago for this position. We really come to love it. Great people, just great people. Same thing with the school district. It's all about people first. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful place for a family, mm-hmm. Great schools, and we love it here.
You mentioned prior to us coming on this podcast, you mentioned your wife's from Fort Wayne. You were at Penn Harris Madison before. Not that far away, but yet a lifetime away almost. It's a whole different culture. Talk to us about your acclimation to a different culture, your children's acclimation to a different culture, and how that's just enriched you as a family.
Sure. Well, my wife transitioned from a position over in South Bend into Elkhart County about the same time I did.
Okay.
So we all moved this direction. Kind of one of those things where maybe it's not in your immediate plan and there's a higher power and try to listen to that. And we ended up here. It was an adjustment because it is significantly smaller than the district we were in before.
Sure.
But man, just fantastic people right from the start. You know, I owe a lot to Jane Allen, the superintendent here before me. Mm-hmm. Really established fantastic relationships with the teachers and the community, and you know, benefited from that. You know, I think that we are in this unique position in this district because we're kind of a medium-sized district, mm-hmm. Just under 4,000 students. So we have the resources to do big things that we want to do, and yet we still have
lots of opportunities.
Kind of small community, small town feel. So it's sort of the best of both worlds in that way.
We know that leaders come in many different ways, and some have titles and some do not. You had an experience when you were trying to do some work here in Middlebury with meeting with community members who might not have aligned with what your vision was for the future of the school district, specifically facility-wise. Talk to us about that strategy you had and how that played out for you now long-term in your superintendency.
Sure, and I believe you're referring to the athletic facility that we built,
with
the gymnasium. And so the high school, Northridge High School, current building was built opened 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. And at that time it was built without a main gym or main arena.
Interesting concept.
So, and I think from information I gathered from people that have been here a long time and wiser than I am, that there was a community kind of pushback, and it had to do with the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And maybe messaging.
That was right about circuit breaker time too. So that all
correct.
That was coming into play, that big mm-hmm. conversation that was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for our board members and for myself, we just did a lot of listening and meeting with people that definitely maybe they opposed mm-hmm. that originally, and talking, what would the cost be to construct it then versus now? Mm-hmm. You know, what's our financial situation? How are we being fiscally responsible? How can we do this without raising the tax rate, which is what we did. We built, it's a $30 million facility that we paid off in 2032.
Wow.
Without raising taxes.
That's amazing.
People needed to hear that, but what we needed to hear from the people, which was probably more important than them hearing from us. Mm-hmm. And so through that, two public hearings, 42 visitors spoke at those, and only one opposed. So that it was...
And a lot of lunches.
A lot of thankful for our board members that helped me with that. Mm. And we got out and met with a lot of people.
I would imagine you taking that time, specifically giving of your time to meet individually with community members who had a voice, needed that voice to be heard, has played out extremely well with you being able to have a new relationship and them being able to get to know you just a little bit more about where your heart is, about where your vision is, about how you want to lead.
Sure, absolutely. And that's part of leading, right?
It's right.
Listening and hearing people because, if we don't listen, where are we going
right.
here? And we might have an expertise as educational leaders coming up as teachers yeah. and administrators. But then when you get to the role of superintendent, you are serving for an elected board that
right.
represents your community. So I think listening is mm-hmm. one of the most important parts of being a superintendent.
Did you always want to be a superintendent?
Definitely not.
What does that pathway look like for you?
I started off as an elementary teacher. My mother was an elementary teacher and eventually an elementary principal that retired mm-hmm. right before COVID from Warsaw.
Yeah, good timing.
Taught many years elementary and also middle school math and then had the opportunity to be a middle school assistant principal and then an elementary principal. At one point, I just decided, I had Dr. Jerry Thacker and
yep.
Dr. Heather Short, both at PHM as mentors. Mm-hmm. And
former superintendent, current superintendent.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so there was a group of us that went through and worked in the doctoral program.
Mm-hmm.
And a central office opportunity came available, so I was able to serve on Dr. Thacker's cabinet for about 4 years. Wasn't really chasing a superintendent's role and
yeah.
had a friend in Elkhart County tap me and say, Middlebury's a great community. You should really take a look at this. And so I came into the interview process thinking, I don't know about this. And really kind of fell in love with the community, really loved the school board members. Mm. Maybe I was interviewing them just as much as the other way
so
around.
So important.
It's been a wonderful fit. I think this is one of the best districts in the state of Indiana.
And you have to have that passion, right? You have to have that passion to truly be embedded in the community, to give that great leadership, to have it become part of your personality and part of your DNA, to lead the district as though it is your own, part of your family, right?
Yeah.
You have two daughters, you mentioned, both students here at Middlebury.
Well, the oldest is a Northridge grad now.
Okay.
So
congratulations.
She's a college student.
Yeah.
And the youngest is a junior at Northridge.
What's that been like to have children in your own district?
It can be a challenge.
Uh-huh.
It can be a challenge. And, the text from my daughter at 5:45 a.m. that says, Dad,
do we have school?
Do we not have a 2-hour delay today? Do you know what districts do? So there's that angle. But I think we all strive for, you hear about work-life balance, and that's difficult when you have a position where to do a good job, it's probably 60 or 70 hours every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to find a school district where I feel like you can blend instead mm-hmm. of balance.
Yeah.
So your family can be important at work and your work can be important when you're home with your family. And maybe having that positive blend where family matters at work and work matters at home, I think that's probably going to be more successful than mm-hmm. trying to find a balance that you're always searching for.
Are you a superintendent dad who visits your child's classroom or do you stay out of the building?
I'm in buildings a lot. I try to schedule that because I don't think we can lead if we're not in schools.
Correct.
But
you have to know what's going on.
Having said that, I get the side eye from the youngest daughter. And it's like, Dad, you're embarrassing me. So I try to be aware of that.
Yeah. You mentioned balance. We know balance is not the equal fulcrum, right? We all have to figure out where our work-life balance is. When you're not being superintendent, when you're trying to find that other thing that helps to fill your bucket, to make you the best that you can be while you're at work, what does that look like for you?
Well, I think having time away is important
yes.
to be refreshed. For me, it's, whether it's reading or my faith,
mm-hmm.
Spending time with my wife, I think you have to be well to do well at work.
Love that. Absolutely.
And so, and we say the same thing with our educators. It's a demanding job. If you're a teacher, principal, bus driver, food service, doesn't matter. You have to be well, you have to take care of yourself so that you can take care of others. And it's, that's the thing that we try to stress with our teachers too, is, taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, it makes them successful with kids.
You mentioned reading. What are you reading right now?
Well, I'm starting to look at a book about, it's the five languages of appreciation in the workplace. And
fairly new book. So I think 10,000 copies or something. Some crazy number of copies, probably more than that. Something that IEPSS has just started actually with our staff too. What do you think?
Not all the way through it yet, but I think what I've read so far, maybe not rocket science, but a wonderful refresher of the power of appreciation. You know, there's a quote, it's silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone. And how often do we go through our busy day and we see things that we think that's wonderful or I appreciate that, but we don't tell the person. And all it takes is a little sticky note, an email, a text. And it's not a manufactured gratitude. It's sincere. Mm-hmm. It has to be sincere. And I think that's part of leadership.
I was just mentioning actually yesterday to some colleagues about the value of a handwritten letter. We don't see that as much as often, but, I've rediscovered the value of a handwritten letter. And I think that's, you know, another piece, and some of our colleagues are so much better at it, and I've not been great at it, but I think that speaks to that silent gratitude. And I've shared stories multiple times about teachers that I've gone back to who I had in high school that I said, thank you. But it was 30 years later, right? Yeah. And so why couldn't I have said that as an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, and tell them how much of an impact they had made at that time in my life? But I think gratitude is never too late to express, right?
Amen.
Yeah. When you walk into, so you live here, your children go here. When you are walking into a building, people know Dr. Snyder's here. Right? It changes the dynamic of everything that goes on. And you get, I doubt, and it's been my experience, I never had to pay to go into a ball game. I don't have to flash my badge anymore. I get to go in the back door. I get to park in certain spaces, all those things, right? It can play with your mind a little bit. What keeps you humble when you're the boss, you're the leader, and yet your wife still knows you as that young man that she married, and your kids know you as dad, right?
Yeah. I think leading with humility is incredibly important. I think, again, that goes back to thinking of myself as a father and a husband first, but then remembering what it's like. And I mentioned scheduling myself to be in schools. Mm-hmm. And of course, it doesn't always work out the way you want, but it is important. And many of our people at our central office make a regular effort to get in buildings and be present and kind of feel the energy in the building. It's refreshing, but also you see some of the challenges that are right there that you want to help address. I think the other part of humility is having two teenage daughters that regularly remind me that I don't know what I'm talking about. And it's not that deep, Dad.
Yeah. You know? Chill out. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, and it makes you more human to your employees. It makes you more human to the people you work with. It humanizes you as the superintendent when people can see you in the hallway and they can walk. They know they can walk up to you and they can ask you a question. They can tell you a story, and you know a little bit of something about them and maybe their family and their work experience and all those things. It just really builds upon the culture in the school district.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Our time's starting to run short. So last question. Question we ask every one of our superintendents on the Leading with Excellence podcast. What does leading with excellence mean to you in the context of public education?
Well, that's a big question. And I think, I'm hired to serve as a superintendent for Middlebury Schools. And so, we're excited about record-setting literacy scores, record-setting graduation rate, things where we have increased what excellence means to us in the last 4 or 5 years. And we want to maintain that. But I think the bigger question that you're asking about public schools is while I'm hired to serve here, all students matter.
Yes.
And so one thing that I feel blessed to be part of Elkhart County, we have 7 school districts in the county. And the collaboration among those 7 superintendents is like nothing I expected. It's really fantastic. we're the first to, I mean, it's a daily conversation between the seven of us.
Sure.
Whether it's sharing resources, asking questions, brainstorming to solve something, or even just some therapeutic humor at times. But it is true. And I don't know many places where, someone's doing an interview about something great in their district, but they take the time to point out something successful in a neighboring district.
Wow.
And that happens in Elkhart County.
That's great.
It's a special place. And so I think that's part of leading with excellence in public education is we have our focus, but really the focus is all students and lifting each other up across district lines.
Yeah. Well, and having that support network is so, so critically important. That's amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of Middlebury Community Schools in Middlebury, Indiana, Dr. Jason Snyder. Jason's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.